In both readings, we've reached a certain turning point. Today in chapter 6 in Acts, we start the story of Stephen, the martyr. And we'll continue that. This is the next dimension of the life of Christ in his body, the church, martyrdom. In the Gospel of John, we have this text which begins our Lord's discourse on the bread of life. The crowd comes across. They ask him, you see, Rabbi, when did you get here? He doesn't answer them at all. He first challenges them and says, you're looking for me now, not even because you saw signs and wonders, but because I fed you. The discourse begins. And the first thing he says to them is, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. This is the fourth or fifth time in the Gospel of John that our Lord has described himself as the Son of Man, this mysterious figure that Daniel saw in a vision and records in chapter 7. He tells them, work. Work for the food that the Son of Man will give you. This is the typical teaching of the wisdom books. Chapter 2 in the book of Proverbs. Strive, search for wisdom. Abandon everything to get wisdom. And then it's a gift. And we learn from that that even the striving is a gift. And so now we have this notion, work, which is the same. Work for the Son, for the food which the Son of Man will give you. You have to work, but he'll give it to you. The beginning of that food is already that movement of the Holy Spirit within us toward feeding on Jesus. He'll give it to you. The people understand this as a series of practices related somehow, probably, to the law. And so they say, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answers and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. That will be the theme of this whole discourse. It will start to open up as we go on in this discourse. But you see, the heart of it is faith. We feed on Christ through faith, just as we will feed on him through vision when we see him. Feeding on Christ through faith reaches its apogee, reaches its high point, when we actually feed on the risen Christ, his body and his blood, his soul and divinity. We feed on him. The Lord had planned this from all eternity, that he would gather a people to be the fulfillment, to be the new Israel, so that through them he could bless the whole world, make the whole world know him, come to him, be fed by him, live according to his teachings, transform themselves by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then live with him forever. That's the plan. And the heart of it is the Eucharist. That's the heart of it. So he says here, this is the work of God. That is, this is the work that God does in you, to which you yield belief. Very interesting, in the same line, when St. Thomas Aquinas is commenting on Romans 4:22, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as justice. And he asked the question, does that mean that Abraham believed and merited justice? He said, no. The very act of belief is the first act of God in the believer, by which the believer submits, yields to the work of God, and submits to his justification. Ipsum credere est primus actus justitiae. The very act of belief is the first act of justice, which God works in the believer. So our role is to yield. Our role is to take it in, to receive it. And he's going on now to describe what that means. In the first part of the discourse, the accent is on the Eucharist as the wisdom of God. We eat and drink wisdom. This is a theme that's throughout the whole Testament. Wisdom is food, wisdom is bread, wisdom is water, wisdom is wine. This wisdom, this share in God's understanding of reality, given to us. And the heart of it all is Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And so we begin now this discourse. How many times in here we will hear this same theme? Nobody comes to me unless the Father draw him. This is the work of the Father to bring us to the Eucharist. And so you see that the heart of this is faith. Now, there was a great martyr, Ignatius of Antioch. He was also a poet and a great mystic. And on his way from Antioch to Rome to be martyred in the amphitheater, he was the bishop of Antioch. He wrote letters, 7, to various churches that he visited. And then to 1/6 that he visited, and 1 that he was going to visit, namely the Church of Rome. And there, to them, he writes and says, don't try to do anything about my martyrdom. Don't talk to the mayor. At last I have a chance to be a Christian. At last I have a chance to be a full man. This is my chance. Don't deprive me of it. And in that context, you see, this is the, in a way, the patron saint of Eucharistic devotion. Ignatius, you see. And so he writes to them, do not talk about Jesus Christ while you desire the world. Do not let envy dwell among you. And he goes on exhorting them to turn from all those movements and passions that degrade us and keep us from full communion with Christ and with each other. Then he goes on, my passionate love, my eros, my love, has been crucified. And I am not on fire with the love of earthly things. You see. For my flesh, for my food, I desire the flesh of the Son of David. And for my drink, his blood, which is holy love. For I hear another voice within me, like the sound of many waters, and is saying, come to the Father, come to the Father, come to the Father. So you see, that's why I think we could really call him the patron saint of the Eucharist. He hungered and thirsted for Christ in his spirit, in his mind, and in his body. And the Lord answered that, strengthened him, and he was killed in the Colosseum. But he's a one. When our own, we daily receive the Eucharist. When our own start understanding and enthusiasm start to flag, pray to Ignatius. You hear, if you read those letters of his, oh, especially the one to the Romans. You see, when he says, see, as I said, at last I'm going to be a man. At last I'll be a full human being when I'm there with Christ. And the anticipation of that is here in the Eucharist, which is the work the Father does in me is to help me understand and believe and thirst and desire Christ. That's the work of Christ, of the Father in me. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. So now we're going to have for several days this discourse on the Eucharist. And the church saves this for this time of year when we celebrate the risen Christ and we get instruction. We just had instruction in chapter 3 of John on baptism. And now we move to this instruction on the Eucharist.